This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. And there's more. If you want more, there's more at allbook-books.com. And the Substack page, Musings from Between the Lines. This week, a kind of segue fest as I started reworking a short story told from the perspective of the lowercase letters. So the story is going to be all lowercase with no punctuation. So that got me to look up the origin of how the letters got to lowercase. And I didn't see definitive answer, but it mentioned something about the King Charlemagne and the switch to cursive. So there's, it seems like something faster and easier. And the most convincing to me is mention of the scribes, the Christian scribes, copying the or writing down or copying, I don't know the history, having to do with the Bible and having to do with the Bible and church documents. So the amount of effort with all caps was laborious and leading to errors. So they were looking for a faster, easier way to write and more efficiently. Enter the lowercase letters. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Now that got me thinking about how, wow, all the writing, everyone who writes in English, which is a huge percentage of the world, that hand motion, that writing process coming from a, again, most likely Christian biblical time and scribes, a scribe time. So the first thing that made me think of was like sort of how our hands and our motions have been hijacked into sort of thinking without realizing it, that motion associated with that time period and that behavior in a sense of copying, which is what, you know, learning the letters is. It's copying. As little kids, I remember the little lined yellow paper in elementary school and copying, it's copying. So we're kind of indoctrinated in the school system, American school system anyway, for being little scribes of the letters. And of the letters, you know, the capitals and the lowercase. Now, at a recent talk I gave at a library about the finding serenity in the digital world, where I mentioned the Marshall McLuhan accentuated, the interiorization of how at any kind of technology that a society takes on, there's a level of interiorization, meaning the motions and the gestures become part of the person in a way. The most glaring example now is beyond, say, the typewriter, beyond the gadgets, is the cell phone is like literally become an extension of, if not attached to, the hand. So that's like a form of interiorization, and the energy one, you know, does at the computer, at the keyboard. And so it just got me then thinking more about how much we use our fingers, and our hands are all tied up in this whole process. But a librarian mentioned that she had heard of somebody, like a little kid, I forget, maybe 2 or 3 years old, that they were learning how to read on the gadget, you know, the laptop or whatever. And so, I forget exact. It was like when they were given a book or something, the hand motion was as if scrolling. Like they did not know how to turn the page of a book, which astounded the librarian and astounded me to think about that. So there's definitely a certain change going on in the world, in the society, with that much more of the hand usage of gadgets. Another layer of it that I think of is all the, you know, the push button now. The used car I got a few years ago is a newer model, but it's used, but it's got the push button start. And then recently, after having the same stove for like 25 years, got a new stove, and that's a push button. push button to turn it on, push button to turn it off, push button. You know, the phones are push button. Some of us grew up with the rotary. So it's a very, we're a very like finger-oriented society now, and this interaction with the gadgets, what the effects of the interiorization are, is subject for discussion. I also learned years ago, and I do the brush, Chinese Asian brush calligraphy. And from that, I learned that's a heart-centered approach, that the energy centered from the heart goes across the shoulder, down the arm, and out through the hand. So the hand and the fingers are really just sort of barely there, holding the brush very lightly, and they are like conveyors of the energy. Whereas the contrast of that is how we think of little kids with the, you know, sort of like a fist around the pen learning to write, and kind of jamming the pen into the page is very much the opposite of the calligraphy, which is the flow of energy through the being, through the human being, and onto the page, very organic. So I don't know what the technology now is doing, but it's very pokey and very sort of brusque and finger, fast motion finger. There isn't much grace to it. I don't know if I've ever looked at someone and fingering their device, so to speak, and said, wow, how graceful that looks. It looks manic. When I see younger people tend to be faster at it, it looks kind of like manic to me. But whatever the case, there's these levels of interiorization going on, and levels of how it's affecting our movements and our energy and our consciousness. Now, I'll just contrast this with what I've noticed. More recently, I seem to find a sort of calming, very calming and relaxing and centering effect when I'm doing simple things like doing dishes or cleaning the bathroom sink, or taking a toothbrush to clean out the coffee filter after the beans are ground and it has this dry powder. So I take a toothbrush, and there's something I find very calming and centering about these manual activities. And it made me think that because I spend a lot of time, you know, at the computer and writing, and a lot of that's in a headspace consciousness, that it feels like the hands-on physical mini fix-it type of stuff is very centering. So I don't know how much it's contrasting with the mental space, or how much it's contrasting with the more computerized space, which is a very mental abstract space that a lot of people are experiencing and living in nowadays. It seems like much less of a hands-on fix-it society. Some of that is, you know, the throwaway society of stuff, rather than spend the time to try to fix it, which involves, you know, little screwdrivers and patches and whatever. But in any case, my plan is to spend more time and more energy on simple, just to be more aware of my, you know, hands and what I'm holding and doing and touching. I guess cooking, baking, and those kind of activities, crafts, hobbies, those are all ways that people stay in touch with the sensory and the hand, and gardening, all those kind of things. Now I see as a kind of contrast from the technological button pushing world that takes up much of our time by choice and sometimes by necessity. So what all that ties in with literature is up for grabs, but I think it does in the sense of the letters and the consciousness that comes from letters, which is a whole bigger topic I've written about and talked about. And you know, the origins of the letters, the pictures that were before the letters, how abstract we've gotten from the original pictures that made the letters to using letters where we don't even know what the pictures mean, and making words. So we've really gotten away from the original organic interaction with the physical world and the natural world that a lot of the pictures come from. And then, you know, another step is other languages other than English and indigenous languages, which are different from the alphabets, different from the alphabet language of English, and have a lot more depth. The little bit that I've learned of the Lakota language, there's just so much more to each expression, each so-called word, that boggles my English mind. But I learn from it, so that's some of what's got me into exploring the consciousness that comes from the letters that are the backbone of the English language. You know, an amazing, from 26 letters to just, you know, think of a library or think of a bookstore or think of all the stuff that's online. It's like those little 26 letters have immense amount of combo verbiage, but yet a lot's being said, but how much is really happening? How much is really integrated? How much is hands-on experience and direct interaction with the natural world and caring for the earth and interacting with, not just, you know, something about the language and the letters is like we're using them for things in a way. And much of the original language is from, was originally used, written language used as a form of bookkeeping and record keeping and bureaucracy. And for mercantile records, keeping track of stuff. So there's a lot of origin of the letters that is still a strong part of the world, which again is why looking to indigenous languages, original people's languages that come from another angle, so to speak. So thanks much for listening. Be well.